Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Staney, and welcome to Pro Wrestling Interviews. We've got a great show tonight. I'm going to turn it over to our host with the most, I'll tell you tonight, Steve Logan, Professor Steve, Stellar Steve, whatever you want to call him. He's a great guy, and he knows a lot about wrestling. Steve, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. Had a fun weekend, and definitely looking forward to picking Sinister's brain.
Well, that's great. Well, there he is. So it's the floor is all yours, Steve.
Yeah, I had a seminar yesterday on a Saturday with Brad Soders from Roundtable BJJ in Pennsylvania, and it was pretty informative, mostly guard retention. I did ask him about guard recovery. And Sinister, I wanted to get your thoughts on Shiloh Lasso guard. Do you ever play Lasso guard?
Yes, I played that before. Usually a lot of people that's like flexible, I mean, they're real good at it. And, you know, I've done it before. I'm not very fond of it. Cause you know, I like smashing pads and, you know, going to whatever, you know, attack that I'm trying to get to. But the lasso guard is effective. It's just, you have to find a way to, you know, make it work. Just like if you take one technique, you can make it work 5 to 10 different ways. And it's the same thing with the lasso guard. But, you know, it's just, you know, trying to see how you can angle it and, you know, if you're actually flexible enough to get into it.
And to anyone that doesn't know, I guess I would explain it as your foot over the your partner's arm over their bicep. Similar to spider guard, but different way of your leg being placed over their arm.
Exactly.
But, so, yeah, that was super fun. Learning from an experienced black belt and going to a party afterwards and watching some of the, I think it was IBJF Worlds going on. And there was some, I was at the open mat today and we're watching some of that too. We had that on during the open mat, so we watched some of that later on. But, yeah, it was super cool. Talked a little bit of asked Brad about catch wrestling, and apparently he's friends with Joel Bain from Snakefoot, because I saw his wife Sally had like Snakefoot logos, and I had to ask him about that. And then apparently Brad like did years of Sambo, and so he kind of like compared that to catch. And yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, I saw an old post that he posted on Instagram about Pancrase, so I asked him about Pancrase, and he said he liked Funaki. And I told him I liked Suzuki, so it was a super fun day yesterday. Did you do any training or open mats recently?
Oh, yeah. I know this week we had judo training, you know, how to how to get the underhooks in and try to hold for at least 10 seconds before the other guy escaped. And we did a couple of takedowns and throws. So we did that, and we also did some MMA training, you know, as far as, you know, getting on top and trying to stay on top. And then we also worked from the bottom, which was bottom guard, and trying to sweep without getting submitted. So that was very interesting. So, you know, we practice a lot on that, and I know this Wednesday coming up, we're going to be practicing on some more judo, but tomorrow I know it's going to be MMA. So, yeah.
Thanks. The seminar coach, Brad, said he was teaching a student on Sundays, I believe, and when we were asking about him. I wish I can train judo more, but it's like a once-in-a-while thing. But usually do the no-gis on Fridays, and there's a kickboxing before that. But it's definitely super cool to learn the judo throws. There's a little bit of that no-gi, but just without the gi. But,
Well, one thing I like to say about judo is it's a sport where, it's an art where, I know a lot of people say that you don't have to have strength for jiu-jitsu and judo, and I like to tell them that that's not true. Judo and jiu-jitsu people have to work out. They have to lift.
You're right. You know?
Yeah. You have to.
Yeah, I believe it.
Because just the judo training, man, I felt it all through my body. I mean, it's tough. And jiu-jitsu is tough, you know. I would like to try the sambo because, you know, I've seen it and I've studied it a little bit. And it looked like it's very effective, the Russian sambo.
Yeah, it's like, not something I see locally, but I'm sure if you're in a big city somewhere, you probably will find it. But, I haven't looked into it a whole lot, but there is guys that I like to watch that have done it, like Fedor Emelianenko or Miro from AEW, but it seems like jiu-jitsu is easier to find, and sometimes judo, but, it's cool hearing about it with someone who's done it. But I also wanted to talk pro wrestling a little bit. I asked Brad before he left. He had to go to drive up to Pennsylvania, but I asked him about favorite wrestlers. He said it's right now AJ Styles, but all time Chris Benoit. And I could probably see that. You know, they're both kind of amateur wrestlers with experience, and I told him Malakai Black and Undertaker for me. But Sinister, do you have any favorite wrestlers right now or all time that you can share?
Well, my favorite all time is Undertaker, as you know. I like his style, and he's also trained, you know, in jiu-jitsu and different arts like that. And you know, him and, you know, I like, you know, guys like, you know, Booker T, I like his style. And there were two wrestlers from the WWE, at that time it was WWF, that also had experience. One of them, his name is Steve Blackman. I don't know whatever happened to him.
Yeah.
He was awesome, man. The other guy, he was a Asian guy. He had tattoos all over his face and body.
Rokishi.
No, it might have been Rokishi. He wore all white. He looked like Raven from.
No, he was a Hakushi. He went by Jinsei Suzuki in Japan, I believe.
Yeah. I don't know what ever happened to those guys, because they was just awesome there in the ring, and their technique was very smooth, and you know, they just up and disappeared, and I don't know what ever happened to them.
Yeah, I think Kikuchi, I don't think he's retired. I can look that up, but Steve Blackman, I think he rarely makes wrestling appearances. I saw that the last picture I saw with Blackman was he posted a picture. He was in the picture with the Hardy Boys. I think Blackman was at, like, independent, and he was, like, posing for pics with the Hardy Boys. That was the last time I saw him. Like, it wasn't that long ago, but I think he was, like, I think he promotes MMA or bare-knuckle fighting, because that was something that I remember hearing about. But, yeah, I think Steve Blackman's pretty underrated. I think he could have been their Ken Shamrock after Ken, like, left. Because, like, he had the martial arts background, and Ken kind of went through back into MMA, but I think they could have had Blackman kind of take his place. And then I've asked Gangrel. Gangrel's been asked multiple times about his favorite opponent, and Gangrel would say Steve Blackman was one of his favorite opponents. So, yeah, probably overlooked in wrestling history for sure.
Yeah, and that's sad, man, because they could have really, really done something with him. I mean, really.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like I always say, you have untapped talent in a lot of these companies that they could really do something with, but they never get touched because Rikishi, this guy, I mean, this guy, he came close to beating Bret Hart. And
right.
Just imagine where that would have put him today.
And, they weren't going to sign Great Muta, but I think he could have been their Muta-like type star.
Right. Yeah, I love Great Muta, too. I love him now. He's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I heard you.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you good. You good. You go ahead.
I when I met Bruce, I didn't have many questions in my mind, but I asked them about possibly signing Great Muta to WWE, and they just said that, you know, Muta wasn't interested or he didn't want to learn English. And I'm like, I wish I challenged him, because, like, I should have just said that Gary Hart could have been his manager, like they did in WWE, but at the time I was just like, you know, excited to be there. But, I did mention Rikishi to them, because Undertaker did have that match with Rikishi and Michinoku Pearl, I believe. But, I think Rikishi could have been a big star for them, and I think Muta would have been a big opponent for an Undertaker-type match for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, that would have been awesome. Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on the wrestling world right now? Hell in a Cell tonight, NXT was last night, and then Double or Nothing just happened recently. So, any thoughts on the current wrestling product right now?
AEW. I want to say that was actually a great show they had. You know, the match with the cowboy guy and
Hangman Page,
that was actually a good match. It was a decent match. It was just a lot of good details in there. You know, with Jericho, and I think it was overall a good show. I haven't got the chance to view the Hell in a Cell yet. But,
that's starting, I think, at like 7:30 or 8. It starts at 8, so we'll probably learn more about it later. But, go ahead,
Steve. This is Dr. John, and I know I my timing is always terrible, but I wanted to ask Sinister a question. We just announced the 2023 Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic-Con starring Papa Stro Maestro. And I was going to ask Sinister, that is going to be on February the 18th, 2023. Sinister, would you be our special guest along with Papa Stro Maestro?
Yes, sir. I always want to go to a Comic-Con. I absolutely will.
Well, because I run 7 or 8 of them, but I'll tell you what, Jacksonville is special because that is the hometown of Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling. And this is your official I'm sorry. It comes here on Pro Wrestling Interviews. This is your official invitation to be one of the stars of the Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic Con. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be incredible. In fact, we're going to have several mini cons, and I will let you know about them. One's going to be in Havelock, and one's going to be in Jacksonville in the fall as we're preparing everybody for this gigantic Comic Con. So I'll let you know about them, and we'll ask you to be up there for them. Is that cool?
Oh yeah, yes sir. I'm a comic book geek.
All I got to say is you can now make yourself know that you are booked for the gigantic Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic Con 2023, and I'm sitting here looking at the poster. And all you have to do is go to Jacksonville NC Comic Con, and on Facebook, and all you have to do is like us, and you'll get all the things. So anyway, Sinister, it will be an honor to have you at this event. And you know, do you know who else I'm going to get? I'm going to get him regardless. I'm going to get the Amazing Velvet up there. I don't care what happens. We're going to have the Amazing Velvet up there because we're going to have three of my favorite professional wrestlers of all time. Now, I don't know if I can get Orange Cassidy, but I'm going to try. I'm sorry. I know I'm crazy, but I just love that guy. I think he's great.
John, I saw him in Indiana before he blew up in AEW, so I got to see him firsthand, and I agree mostly. I enjoyed him. I was kind of taken back by his work, but yeah, he was pretty entertaining. But
I tell you, John, I love the guy. Do what?
Yeah. No, I
love Sinister. And like I love Velvet, and like I love Stro, we'll see what we can do. Because you know what? I have pulled off miracles before. So you're looking at the dude from Myrtle Beach that can pull off a miracle. I'll see what I can do. But I'll tell you what, I pulled off a miracle this evening by getting the one and only Sinister. And I cannot wait to have you up there, Sinister. And we're going to have a wonderful wrestling event. Well, not a wrestling event, but a banquet the night before, which is going to be on February the 17th. So, Sinister, you'll know all about that. Okay.
Okay. You say that's Florida coming.
Just know that we're here at Pro Wrestling Interviews. We are huge fans of Sinister. You got it.
Oh yes. Gotcha. And speaking of pulling miracles, I believe Stro's in the queue. So if you see him,
Oh my God! I'm sorry. The reason I didn't see him is because I was busy talking. Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! Hold
you're,
on.
You're fine.
and by the way, let me apologize to him. There he is. Yeah, there he is. So let me apologize when he comes on. Papa Stro, I was busy talking about you, and this is Dr. John, and I'm sorry I didn't get you on here, but we love you, man, and we're excited about you starring in the Jacksonville Comic-Con, and we're just excited to have you here, and I'm sorry I was talking about you while you were in the queue. Will you forgive me, kind sir?
Which state is this?
Can you guys hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Good to be on here with you guys. I just got off set, wrapped up for an upcoming horror sci-fi miniseries that'll be out later on this year. So I just I wanted to stop by the show and,
that's great. We're glad to have you on here with us, and sorry, I was too busy talking about you, saying great things about you, to get you on the show. Now, now you're on here. Okay.
Hey, thank you so much.
Hey, John, Jacksonville. Which state is that?
Jacksonville, North Carolina. There's only one real Jacksonville. It's the home of Camp Geiger. It's the home of Camp Lejeune and the home of Cherry Point. So that is, you know, we're gonna be providing our armed forces with the greatest in entertainment in the world, starring Papa Stro Maestro. And we've just asked Sinister to be there with us, and Velvet's going to be there with us. Papa Stro, we're going to have the greatest wrestlers in the world there, headlined and featured by you, the one and only Papa Stro.
I'm really honored. Hey, Sinister, how you doing, man? Right. Oh, man, I'll be doing good, brother. Man, Stro, what are your thoughts on wrestling right now? There's Hell in a Cell tonight, there's NXT last night, and then AEW this past weekend. A lot going on in wrestling right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots happening. I mean, from all ends too. I mean, we're gonna have a new interim AEW champion soon, which I'm pretty excited about. Tonight, Hell in a Cell, you got Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes headlining, man. That's gonna be amazing. I just know. Man, things are just rocking and rolling, man.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it seems like he got injured right when his title reign started. But I think it could benefit someone like an MJF right now, who's really hot, or a Wardlow. So I wanted to get you and Sinister's thoughts on this. They're not stripping CM Punk of the title. They're just doing an interim title, and it's something you mostly see in AEW and not WWE. But what do you think about interim championships in pro wrestling? Because it seems to be more common in like MMA or boxing.
It's still kind of new, honestly. I mean, that, you know, I understand them getting it from the MMA world when they do their interim deals and all that. You know, it's just, you know, it's kind of, from an old school perspective, you know, it's like, you know what I mean? Because, we used to have like a 30-day rule where if you could defend a championship for 30 days, then we had to relinquish the title. I was kind of hoping that they would kind of go more that route, honestly. But,
right.
I mean, it is what it is, and I mean, it opens up a whole new opportunity for a lot of guys really step up and make a name for themselves, and I really hope that, you know, we can see some exciting things coming up, you know, in the weeks ahead, you know, with a possible new interim champions. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see who gets that spot, that interim championship spot. I think it seems pretty obvious. It seems like Cody's going to win. And if Cody's not winning against Seth Rollins, then I kind of expect a Bray Wyatt run in, because every Hell in a Cell cage match they do in recent years, and even in the first one, there's always been an interference. So it would not surprise me if Bray Wyatt shows up, given that his Twitter handle is Wyatt6 and not Wyndham6.
Yeah.
Especially with his history of Seth Rollins, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, of course it will be. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, Sinister, please.
Well, if he did show up, which one of these guys would he attack? with your attack.
Yeah, that's definitely something to consider there. If he's going to feud with Rollins or just attack both of them. But because Brock has done that before, where he'll show up and beat up both guys. But if I can run down the card, obviously you have Cody and Rollins in the Hell in a Cell. You got a triple threat with Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Becky Lynch. I'm kind of rooting for Asuka on that one, but it wouldn't surprise me if Bianca retains. But you got a 2-on-1 handicap match with Lashley versus Omos and MVP. It gives them an out for Lashley to lose if it's 2-on-1, but we'll see. Ezekiel, who's Elias' brother apparently, versus Kevin Owens. I'm hoping Kevin Owens wins this. I think nothing against Elias or Ezekiel, but I think Owens is, after that Austin match, he should be in more prominent or getting wins. But and then the U.S. title, thank goodness there's a secondary title match on a pay-per-view. They have the U.S. title with Austin Theory, or just Theory versus Mustafa Ali. I think Theory will win. I think Mustafa Ali is a good opponent, but I think Theory's retaining. There's a six-person mixed tag match with Finn Balor, AJ Styles, Liv Morgan versus The Judgment Day with Edge, Damian Priest, and Rhea Ripley. I think Judgment Day will win. They're the new faction, and I think they need to get some wins. And Finn Balor and AJ Styles are two established stars that they can definitely gain a lot from beating. And I think Madcap Moss is beating Corbin. That's still, I'm not very invested in their feud, and I hope it ends soon, but I think Moss will get the win in Corbin. Any of your thoughts on the card in total? To Tristro or Sinister?
Oh, go ahead, Sinister.
Oh, okay. I liked every match except for that Madcap Moss and the other guy.
Right.
I really don't care for them too much at all. Besides that, the card sounds great. And, yeah, I'm definitely rooting for Oscar, too. I like Becky Lynch, but I'm also rooting for Oscar. Kevin Owens and Ezekiel. My question is this now. Are they planning on bringing that look-alike, you know, or Elias look-alike, so they could pull this thing off? Because, you know, they've been going back and forth the whole time about this twin brother thing going on. And they knew that would be amazing.
Yeah, I don't see the payoff unless they do that, where they pull an Andy Kaufman type deal. But I think if they were, I know Aaron Stevens is NWA, but I think he would be the guy to do it. It'd be funny, but like they did with Miz now. But yeah, I just hope Owens beats Ezekiel and moves on to something more significant. But I think obviously the match that I look forward to the most is Rhodes and Rollins and the six-person tag match. I think Judgment Day needs to get some momentum.
Right.
Yeah. Of course. Obviously, I'm looking forward to Cody and Seth. And which is, you know, like I alluded to earlier, be pretty amazing. As far as Kevin Owens, I'm like you. I'm ready for it. Then to kind of move on to other things, but I'm kind of looking for Elias to make an appearance somewhere down the line.
I think Theory and Ollie will be the sleeper match, where It seems I don't watch the TV as much, but I think that would be a great in-ring match for sure.
Yeah, if Ali can keep up with momentum, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm happy he's finally starting to get some leeway there, you know, in high-profile matches like that. I just hope he can keep you know, just keep things up and keep things cool with him, you know, in the office, and, you know, so he can, you know, stick around a while. And in theory, man, I think we're going to be seeing bigger things from Austin Theory.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's a shame that we have to wait till next week for the Ricochet Walter match because they're Gunther. I think those two will tear it up on SmackDown. I don't usually watch the TV, but I might make an exception for that for sure. I might check it out later because Gunther is one of my favorites and Ricochet is pretty great. So, and then I believe they had the tag team title match. Yeah, go ahead about the three-way match.
Yeah, I know they had a tag title match this past Friday on SmackDown. The Usos retained against Riddle and Nakamura.
Yeah.
But as far as going back to what you guys talking about the three-way for the women's World Championship. I'm like you guys. I would like to see Asuka, you know, regain it back, but I think Bianca is going to retain and Reckless. I just think she's, you know, it's her time right now, and I think, you know, it would right now it'd be too early to take it off of Bianca because, I mean, it's her time, and she's a star, man.
Right.
Right.
You know, speaking of the women, and, you know, I just wanted to throw this in there because, you know, it's like every time I look at the podcast or, you know, these wrestling interviews, this stuff keep coming up about Sasha and Naomi. Personally, I think the WWE should just, you know, pay them out, you know, just release them. You know, nothing against them. And the only reason why I'm saying because a lot of women in the WWE cannot get that push they need, like Asuka and a couple of others, because of Sasha Banks, you know, whining, complaining. And you see once they're gone, look how the women's division is actually stepping up. So I think they just need to give them a choice. You know, you guys either come back and play with everybody else, play fair, or we just release you and you go wherever. Because wherever you go, you're going to do the same thing over there. You know, that's just my thoughts.
Yeah, I slightly agree with you. I'm kind of glad Natalia got the spot that Sasha got. But I think they were sort of right in their reasoning in that it seems like they don't care about the tag team titles because, I mean, look, they advertised a tournament, and I think that was wrong of them to announce that because they have no women's tag team division other than NXT, and 2 weeks later they didn't, like, really, you know, set up a tournament, so it kind of proved their point that the tag titles are not as significant, but coming out of that walkout, I am happy for Natalia to get this match with Ronda Rousey. I think that's a good thing. I don't know if it's going to be on pay-per-view, but I think that's good for Natalia. But I think Naomi is more likely to come back because she's really close. You know, the relationship with one of the Usos, so I don't think they want to upset the Usos by having Naomi released, but it would not surprise me if Sasha doesn't come back, but I think they should try to get them back just because I don't think they want to lose. I think Sasha still has star power, but at some point you got to consider your cut your losses at some point, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she got star power, but at the same time, she's doing the movie because, you know, you look at Tessa Blanchard. Tessa Blanchard has star power, but she was causing many problems, you know, amongst the people in the locker room and the management.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
they say, hey, you can't keep putting up with this. You're costing us money. You're costing us problems with other workers, and we can get work, you know, just as good as you are, but we can't because you keep, you know, pushing the pen. So,
I think it was a mistake to walk out because I think she was upset with Ronda Rousey taking her spot, and that is so weird that rumor came out because a long time ago at a convention I was saying, like, is Ronda Rousey taking a spot or is it better for the show? And then obviously Sasha Banks, if the rumors are true, then Sasha Banks felt that way. But I think, you know, losing to the top two women's champions, Bianca and Ronda, would not be a bad spot to be in, you know, even though the tag titles aren't going to mean as much. But, I think it was a mistake on both of their parts, the company and Bianca and Sasha, because WWE kind of, they were trying to set an example, but I think they messed up by announcing a tournament that they weren't going to book and then kind of just making their own narrative. And then Sasha and Naomi, that was a good spot that they were going to be in if there was, you know, if the rumor was true that they were going to face Ronda and Bianca. So I think it was just a big mess on both the company and them.
That surprised me about Naomi, because Naomi's always, it's usually a team player, you know what I mean?
Right.
For her to walk out with Sasha and see, I like both Sasha and Naomi, but it was like you said, it was just a bad move, man.
Yeah, it's not like they're, Sasha has the star power, but I don't think they're on the level of like a CM Punk or a Steve Austin them to like make a huge difference.
Yeah. She's not even on Ronda Rousey level. I mean, I'm not a Ronda Rousey fan, but Ronda Rousey does draw. She does, you know, get people to buy tickets, you know. And, you know, she's in the MMA world. She's known in the wrestling world. I mean, sometimes somebody that got a little bit more cool than the next person. And personally, I think Sasha is just, she just went into the individual. She gets jealous when somebody else gets pitch. You know?
Yeah, I think it's not a huge surprise to me, given that Sasha's been frustrated before. I think again about the tag team titles, and I just hope if she does gets released, that she ends up somewhere like an AEW or even Japan, because I think Stardom would really benefit from Sasha Banks. She's trained with Miko Sonamura, who I think works at WWE, but she obviously got her passion in wrestling back from Japan. So if she does get released and isn't doing Star Wars or acting work, I think she would make a splash in Japan for sure if she does get released. But,
I mean, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I understand about go ahead. I'm sorry, Sean.
No, go ahead.
No, you good. It went that far. Go ahead.
But, you know, yeah, I just, it's not hurting WWE. Like you said, if anything, it's having another lady's, you know, step up to the plate. You know, now we get Natalya and Ronda Rousey, and now, you know, we got on the Raw brand, you know, we got, you know, Bianca, Asuka, and Becky Lynch, and we're now along, we're seeing Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, you know, stepping up to the plate, you know, with the whole Bullet Bullet Club Judgment Day feud they got going on for them. And
right.
it gives opportunity for, like, the NXT women to kind of step up to play, too. I mean, they're really making some waves right now. So.
Right. Yeah, I think Toxic Attraction, I think they really should merge the women's tag team division eventually, and I think Toxic Attraction could be the team to kind of hold the tag titles for the company as a whole. And I really like Priscilla Kelly. I like her look. But, because at some point they need to stop making these makeshift teams and give it somewhat more of a push. But, it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with Sasha and Naomi. I think Naomi comes back, but I'm not too sure about it.
She should, but, you know, she's just under Sasha's influence, you know, that which is bad.
Yeah, possibly. What are your thoughts on AEW Double or Nothing or AEW in general right now? Because it seemed like you might have mixed thoughts or feelings towards Double or Nothing. I wanted to get your thoughts on that because we haven't had a chance to talk about it just from your perspective.
It's a tough break for CM Punk to sit back for a bit, but, you know, and they've kind of put themselves
right.
in the pickle. And the whole interim thing, but I mean, I hope it works out to where, you know, we're asking new blood to step up to the plate and make some moves. And, you know, I mean, heck, and then, you know, with CM Punk, if he returns, you know, we have a potential unification match right there already set in stone. So that's one good positive. I just think that, the Owen Hart tournament, you know, brought some really good matches. And I really think that's the way to go for them. Just be more wrestling-based, you know what I mean? And that you haven't provided good matches and all that. You
Absolutely.
Know what I mean? They don't need to be like another WWE or whatever, and which, you know, there's certain points of the show where you kind of think, well, oh boy, here we go, another WWE light show, right? How many times have we seen that before? But now they're starting to get, you know, with the Owen Hart tournament and the Forbidden Doors with Japan and everything, you know, that's an opportunity to just make a pure wrestling-based company, which I would love to see, where it's not so much about storylines or backstage tea or whatever, you know, it's more about the wrestling, you know what I mean? And that's the one thing that could separate them from WWE. You know what I mean? We already have a WWE. You know what I mean? Let's make an AEW, you know what I mean? And make it totally the opposite of WWE. If you're a wrestling base, it's all about great matches and so forth. You know, if that's one they could learn from New Japan, that's what New Japan's been all about for years, is great wrestling. I mean, that's how they do their angles, is through the wrestling, right? So
that is another thing that I'm disappointed with Punk's injury is that he was supposed to challenge Tanahashi, and I would just assume he's not going to be at the Forbidden Door show. That is a loss for sure.
Is Tanahashi going to get a chance against the interim champion? That maybe
that would make sense. I don't think they announced it yet, but it seemed like Tanahashi was having the title, having interest in the title because of his waist gesture. But that would be pretty cool if they do announce a Tanahashi title match.
I mean, that would be the logical thing to do, but then again, we're talking about AEW here, so who knows?
That's what I was looking for. But, yeah, I think the hottest thing right now is MJF. And right now they're selling it like he's not on the roster, so I'm just interested to see how he's used on TV going forward, given how he's not officially on the roster on the webpage.
As long as Tony don't go spaz out like he did the scrum.
Oh boy!
The double nothing pay-per-view. Oh my God! I mean, the looks on CM Punk's face was hysterical. Seeing Tony next to him just flip off the deep end. Oh my God! It was so funny.
So you mean to tell me this guy was really upset?
Well, he was upset with the Bischoff comments about Punk not being Punk being a flop, and I kind of agreed with Tony that. I don't think Punk was a flop. I think he kind of embellished a little bit about, like, the Friday Night War. It was just, like, one time and he beat WWE in the ratings when they were on the channel. But, yeah, Tony, I was telling Cheryl, I think Tony's a bit over-passionate, maybe medicated. But,
yeah.
I heard Jim say the same thing.
I heard Jim say the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying that guy gave one of the best promos I've seen in a while.
And to see CM Punk pull a Granny Holster and tell Tony Khan, moving on.
Hey, cut him off.
Oh.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I think Tony Khan's a one-man podcast because just how long-winded his answers could be.
Yeah.
God, and how many hours was that pay-per-view? Good Lord. And he still had to entertain the...
Yeah, that... Like, I didn't have the context for it until I listened to Cornette talk about it. I was like, oh, yeah, this pay-per-view ended really, like, late on the East Coast, like 12:40, and they're still doing the scrum after. I'm like, oh, my goodness, like, these guys are going to be tired. I know UFC does scrums similar, but... yeah, it's like it's surprising how energetic and hyper Tony is after all those hours of work.
Yeah.
That's great.
I know it's a bit early, but Cheryl, did you have anything to promote or? Coming up, I know you're filming a hybrid, but is there anything else coming up you want to talk about?
Yeah, hybrid's coming out soon, and by series. I've got wrapped up doing the another horror sci-fi miniseries that'll be out soon. I'll be having more information about that just released to everybody once they give it to me. I've got a feature I'm going to be working on soon about an urban legend in a feature film, and projects in the works. I know this, I'll be in the room. I'll be in the room this Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com. Thursday night, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com. We'll be discussing the career of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. So it'd be a cool Dusty Rhodes story, you know, the moments and memories, but please call in. And then Friday night, the Stro Zone at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my official Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. And Friday night feature, what was it? The Last Woman on Earth. That'd be cool. And, matter of fact, I may or may not be on set coming up for some horror shorts next few weeks. I'm trying to work out the details after that. I got a couple of interviews coming up as well for some podcasts, wrestling podcasts.
Awesome.
So I'll keep everybody informed with that. So.
I think on the 12th they might have Kevin, Virginia wrestler, the referee. Definitely look forward to talk to him. And I believe on the 19th we might have independent pro wrestler Nikki Lee, who I've recently caught up with Big Time Wrestling. But pretty cool that we're getting more independent talent on the show. The interview. Sinister, did you have anything to plug or mention while we're on?
Well, training as usual, classes, and on July the 9th, which will be, I will be at IWE Pro Wrestling, and I have been invited to come in the ring like MJF and get some things off my chest. So some people going to be in for some jock.
That's awesome.
I did want to mention I'll probably be at United League Wrestling on June 18th. Definitely looking forward to that card. A lot of stars on that one. I'm definitely looking forward to this triple threat with Gangrel and Philip Brown in that match, and that's going to be really good. Matt Cross, who used to wrestle on Wrestling Society X, and I believe with Lucha Underground as well, so that's been pretty good. Shane Taylor Promotions versus Eli Isom and Jordan Kingsley tag team match. Their tag team match with Locals Alpha Inc. Versus Masada and Vinny Pacifico. Masada is always really good to watch. Brian Johnson versus Wes Rogers. Josh Woods from Ring of Honor versus Baron Black. The UWE heavyweight title match with Tom Latimer from NWA and Rhett Titus from Ring of Honor in the 2-3 falls match. That should be pretty good. UAW women's title match with Gia Scott versus Danny Mill. And Danny Mill is friends with Fassad. Definitely like watching Danny Mill and Gia Scott work, so that should be pretty good. And other matches are Isaiah Frazier versus Silas Young in the singles match. Definitely enjoy Silas Young from his Ring of Honor days, so. Timmy Danger versus Logan LaRue. I think two of my favorite Virginia wrestlers right now with those two for the Continental title match. Double K, Chris Keith versus Sledge Gibson in a grudge match. That should be pretty great. And, that's the card for June 18th, United Elite Wrestling in Richmond, Virginia. So definitely glad I could come out to these local shows and help out whatnot. But Dr. John, did you have any plugs to mention?
Well, none really. We're just glad to have everybody here tonight, and it's been a lot of fun. And we'll be back next week. That's all I got to say. 7:30 Eastern on Pro Wrestling Interviews. Back to you, Captain Steve.
Yeah, I just looking forward to UEW on the 18th, and Sinister, do you ever train jiu-jitsu outside of South Carolina at all?
Say that again.
I was going to ask, do you train at all outside of South Carolina, like out of state?
In Georgia, I do. South Carolina, I train in South Carolina, I train in Georgia. I have yet to go under the main place I really want to go, and it's only for a week because usually they have my professor, he has a retreat that he does every year for a week, and that's in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it just it's over $1,000. So as I've always wanted to go, just train over there for a week. And another friend of mine, he goes train in I think somewhere in Puerto Rico. So those are the main two places I'm looking for, you know, for like a weekly training.
Yeah, I know John Danner used to teach in Puerto Rico, but I think he might move to Texas eventually, but
right.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad to have you on, Sinister, so we could talk to BJJ earlier in the show, and definitely always love hearing from Shro. Dr. John, if you may, if we can go home, wrap this up, sounds good. If you're there, Dr. John.
Before we go, I want to ask you one question.
Ahead,
not trying to be funny. Not trying to be funny, but what's wrong with Gangrel's legs?
Yeah, I noticed that too. I didn't ask him, but I would just assume he's got to have knee problems. But I noticed his walk too, but. He seems to be working fine, and but yeah, that was something I noticed in person. But apparently, he's still doing great in the ring. He's got this triple threat coming up on the 18th. But I've heard other podcasters mention that too. That he's got a noticeable walk. I hope his knee problems aren't lingering or holding him back, but. I'll definitely have to ask him next time I see him, but I assume he's doing fine given how many bookings he's getting. But I hope we'll see him on AEW again sometime too. John, if you're still there,
yes, sir, I'm here.
This is your cue. Yeah.
All right, take us home. Well, it's been great having everyone on here. And we'll see everyone next week, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, on Pro Wrestling Interviews. Have a good one.
All right. Take care, guys.